many blessings and so many open doors. A brand new mercy,
yes,
along,
Jesus,
with each new day. That's why I praise Him, and for this I give Him my praise. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. Revelation chapter 9. We will not be having our Revelation class again until July the 10th. We're taking a little break, so we'll start back again on July the 10th.
You must be going home. Huh? You must be going to the coast. That's
20 of those. That is one of them. That's true. Mother's still there. My brother's still there. That's true. So
I'll be 91.
I got homes everywhere.
Whoa. This summer.
Yeah, it is. Praise the Lord. All right. God is good. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house. Joy in the house. Salvation in the house. Healing in the house. Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want's in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. And give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. All right. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 9.
Not Revelation.
Not Revelation. Mary won't let me do that. Not today. Acts chapter 9. There is a lot of good stuff in this book, in the book of Acts. There's a lot of great things here. In Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 10 are two really good chapters. Really important chapters.
Amen.
There's a great message here in both of these chapters. We read about Dorcas, or Tabitha, if you want to call her that, in chapter 9. And in chapter 10, we read about Cornelius. Amen. There's all kinds of lessons that we can draw from these people. One thing we want to talk about here this morning is that, and I want to compare them. I want to compare what it says about Dorcas. Let's look in 9:36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was close to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And of course we know the rest of the story. Peter did go there. And when he got there, verse 39 says, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So, Peter commanded her to arise, and she did. And he presented Tabitha alive to her comrades. Now let's just real quick look in chapter 10 and see what it says about this guy Cornelius. 10 and 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now what, there's something, they've got something in common here. Cornelius and Dorcas have got something in common. What is that?
They're givers.
They were alms givers. Amen. They were devout, full of good works, and givers. They were givers.
Givers.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, Brother Thurston and I like to say, he said it first, so I can't take credit for it, but he said it, that everything in the kingdom works on the concept of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Everything works. Everything in the kingdom works on sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. You sow nothing, you reap nothing. You sow lots, you reap lots. You sow bad seed, that's what you reap. Everything works on the principle of sowing and reaping. If you and the pastor is always saying this, if you can't understand the concept of sowing and reaping, you can't understand anything about the kingdom. It's true. Very true. Now, the grace people these days are telling us there's no such thing as sowing and reaping.
That's true. That is really true.
The grace message is today,
the new grace message is
that sowing and reaping does you no good. Sowing does you no good. Because no matter what good you do or what bad you do, doesn't influence God in the least kind of way. God is God, and he loves you no matter what you do. No matter what you do, it doesn't move God at all. Doesn't move God. Even faith doesn't move God, as far as they're concerned. I can drag out the books and show them to you. Yeah, they do.
Grace comes with a lot of mixture.
Yeah, to the right kind of grace does. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. I have heard people preach about Dorcas and teach on Dorcas that it's a grace message. No. I don't see any grace in here. Really, I don't see that kind of grace.
That kind of grace. Yeah.
What I see here is works. I see works. Now, you know, work is a four-letter word in grace circles. Work is a four-letter word in grace circles. Bad. Because it does you no good. It's like legalism, you know, bad. But work and faith are two wings on the same bird.
Wow.
Can't get off the ground without both wings.
Yeah.
You need both wings to fly.
Amen.
And a bird with one wing can't fly. If you got no faith, you're not going to fly. If you got no works, you're not going to fly.
Amen.
So what we see here, we really see, and there's a good reason why Dorcas and Cornelius are juxtaposed right beside one another in the book. Because they teach the same message. Dorcas was raised from the dead because of her works. Purely because of her works. She was an almsgiver, and when she died, the people wouldn't let her go. The church wouldn't let her go. They said, now, you know, we just can't have this. We just can't accept this.
Especially the widow.
That's right. We cannot accept the loss of our sister, and we're just not going to do it. And they sent Peter. And when Peter got there, of course, they said that. They said, now, Peter, you get down here. Don't mess around. We mean business. You get down here right now. You got business down here.
Don't delay.
So when Peter got there, just to drive the point home, all the widows were standing around there showing him everything she'd been doing.
Mama.
Said, now look at here, Peter. This is why we brought you down here. This is what our sister's been doing. And we need her back. Now, you know, that's why they sent for her. That's why they sent for Peter. That is why. And we can imagine that if she had, you know, hadn't been doing much of anything, they probably would have just said goodbye to her and let her go. Let her go. It's her time. It's her time to go. But the church just couldn't let her go. Because of her works. Her works saved her. Her works got her back. So, now,
Lord, I'm not trying to get in Revelation, but that for all the churches, Jesus said,
I know your works. Some of them are good, some of them not so good. That's right. That's true. But that is exactly right. So Dorcas was raised back to life because of her works. And because the church just couldn't let her go. So you see how faith and works work together. The church had faith to call for Peter to get her back because of her works. So she got, so she was revived, and the church received her back because of her works.
That's good.
All right. Works are good now.
We all better get busy.
Right? Alms are good. Alms are good. Sowing is good. You reap what you sow. Dorcas reaped what she sowed. She sowed into the kingdom and she reaped life.
Yes.
She reaped life. She sowed into the kingdom. If you don't believe that alms is sowing, you know, you need to read the Bible. It is sowing. Absolutely sowing. Read Psalms, blessed is he who deals wisely with the poor, considers the poor, deals wisely with the poor. The Lord will make all of his bed in sickness and so on and so forth. Nothing bad will happen to him. You reap what you sow. If you want to lay up in store, it's not just for the hereafter, but we're laying up in store for the here and now. There is a reward for doing good in this life. There is a reward in this life for doing good. But you need to put something in your account. Your account doesn't need to be empty.
Come on now.
You need to be able to draw on your account. And that's exactly what Dorcas had. She had an account, and they drew on it, and she was raised from the dead. All right, now, not different, not much different than what happened to Cornelius. Let's talk about him for just a minute here. It says here in verse 2 that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house and gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he was laying up, treasure. He had an account open. And he wasn't even saved. You say, well, he said that he feared God and he prayed to God always. That won't save you. Belief in God won't save you. Faith in God won't save you. A lot of people have faith in God, they claim they do. You can't really have faith in God unless you believe in He whom God sent. Faith in Christ will save you. You must have faith in Christ.
Now, we revisit this, because the 10th chapter, I believe if it was open to him, salvation was really kind of closed.
That's right.
If it was open to him,
that's correct. So that's why he got his visitation, you see. Because he had an account, and the angel came on account of his account. The angel came to give him a message on account of his account in heaven. Verse 4 says, he saw the angel. He said he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. A memorial. For a memory. God has remembered your good works.
Amen. It does something about it.
Yes, and now God is going to bless you,
Amen.
You unsaved person. He is going to tell you how to get saved.
Yes.
So here is a person. Now Dorcas, of course, was a Christian.
Yes, she was.
And she had an account. But here's a guy that had he was laying up an account and he wasn't even a Christian yet. But he was devout. He was sincere. And those were the days, remember, when the door was just cracked open. I mean, we hadn't even really the door. This was where the door opened to the Gentiles. At this time, the Jewish people didn't even believe Gentiles could get saved. They didn't even believe they had a chance.
Do you know what you just said? Brother Lloyd opened up a whole door.
That's right.
Not just for him and his family.
That's true for the whole. That's for the whole Gentile. That's right. Wow. Exactly right.
So, that's powerful.
Yes, it is. Praise God. So we owe a great debt to this man.
Amen.
This man, Cornelius. We owe a great debt to this guy because he was doing the best he could. And of course he wasn't Jewish, and he didn't have the covenants and all of that the Jewish people had, but he was doing the best he could, and God said, "Well, it's time. Let's do this." So he said, "Now you need to call for Peter. Peter will tell you how to get saved." I can't tell you. Now you know the angels don't preach this gospel. They don't preach the gospel. They can deliver some messages. They can deliver facts. But they don't preach doctrine. They don't. The Bible talks about the angels' desire to look into this salvation. This salvation that we have, the angels desire to look into. They can't look into it. They're not redeemed. They can't be redeemed. They're not human. Jesus didn't die for them. He died for us. Salvation is for us, not for the angels. So the angels have no, they can't relate to this, and they have no, they really have no business. Salvation is not their business. They are ministers for those who are heirs of salvation. All right, so the angel came and told Peter, or told Cornelius to get Peter. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, so Cornelius is saved by his works. Hadn't been for his works, no angel, no Peter. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, he says alms were...
His alms were a memorial before God.
Yep.
God sent the angel to talk to Cornelius and tell him what to do, another step to take. And then he took that step, and the door opened, and he was saved and received the Holy Ghost. No alms, no angel, no salvation. He was saved by works. Saved by works. Saved by alms. Say, alms are a good thing. Alms are good. This is not a grace message now. This is a works message. This is an alms message. Works are important. I like the bird analogy. You need both wings to fly. You got to have works, and you got to have faith. And grace comes by faith. Grace comes by faith. No faith, no grace.
No grace, no nothing.
That's true. You need grace.
Amen.
But grace is being preached in such a way today that it's perverted the whole Bible. Okay. If you think that works mean nothing, and that sowing and reaping mean nothing, then you haven't read the Bible, and you're going to get way out into
and living right.
never and living right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Rewards in living right.
There certainly are rewards to living right. There is no question about it, and there are counter rewards for not living right.
Yeah,
bad things happen to you if you don't live.
Satan's field, he'll
That's right. Good things happen to you when you live right for Jesus' sake, and bad things happen to you when you don't. That's the way it works. All right, glory to God. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Thurston. God bless you all. Good to be here this morning.
That was good.
I like that.